CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? We ready to go?
Yeah.
Ready for this? Shame. Ben walked in. He's crumpled over like a question mark.
Oh no!
What's up with you?
He's just broken. Time to throw him into the rubbish.
Set
fire to him.
I'll make a long story, but on Saturday morning, my back had like a stroke.
What?
So only way I can describe it.
Just your back.
Yeah. My entire torso kind of went about 17 degrees right.
Yeah.
And I'm crooked. I'm like Hillary. And it's the most bizarre thing. It's happened to me before, which I have spoken about in the show, but never this bad. I twisted, I fell to the floor in a pit of agony, and then I couldn't move, and I really had to go play golf on Saturday morning. It was a really important golfing thing.
You obviously cancelled.
Well, I couldn't move.
So were you just bedridden for a whole day?
Pretty much. Feeling
you couldn't
like,
do anything. You couldn't sit up straight because that hurt.
Everything hurt. Pretty much
you couldn't lie down.
The lowest I felt. My girlfriend gave me these like really heavy, hardcore pain medicine tablets.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. It didn't even do anything. And then I had to just take Cataflam and muscle relaxants the rest of the weekend just to get to a point where my body was slightly pliable.
Horse tranquilizer, that's what you need.
Yeah, so I'm going to go get manhandled by my man Derek today because he's normally the guy that puts me back together.
So you were waiting for this. I mean, this is like you. It's going to be sore, but you were patiently waiting.
I had to just try to get my body down to a point that it was rubbery enough. But it's just been the lowest of low, like a new low for me. I'm just badly wired. This is why I get injured when I try to do things, because my whole body's actually fucked.
Why?
I don't know, what have you done?
Who did you?
What karma?
What evil?
See,
what did you do in a previous life?
My body looks like a quantum right now. The back left wheel is like you can see it more than the front left wheel.
But what I'm
my chassis is twisted.
What I'm not getting is you were just minding your own business on Saturday morning.
It just happened, like you know, like when people get a stroke.
You weren't lifting anything up. You weren't pushing anything.
Absolutely nothing. I just finished some
the joys of getting older.
I just finished some light stretching because I'm conscientious of my body and that kind of crap. I mean,
you are though. This is the thing that bothers me. Right?
You are Mr. Men's Health in this team,
and my body just goes, wah.
and it twists the chassis.
Leanne
thinks this is funny.
it is. Of course, it is. Everyone except for me, and I know you laugh at
that. Have you had to sleep
with difficulty and agony? This, like, I couldn't even sleep last night because I went through a stage where things were getting better, where the muscle relaxants were clearly doing their job.
Oof.
And then I was in so much pain last night, I couldn't really sleep.
So how did you get here today?
On my bike, which I know it sounds stupid, made me feel so much better.
What, because the bouncing?
Whatever it is, the bike ride is the best I've felt.
Really?
Best I've felt since.
So, I mean, you could have called in sick this morning.
Yeah, I could have.
You probably feel like death right now. Inside, your organs are all shifted to the left.
You haven't slept. Maybe you should try and sleep on a stationary bike. It's a good position for you, obviously.
Well, perhaps. So wheel it upstairs so I get some quiet. Look a bit odd if I'm in the car park and I'm just hunched over my handlebars. But right now, Leanne, I'll take anything. I'll take anything for a bit of rest, relaxation, or just some sort of equilibrium.
Goodness me. It's getting old,
I think this is so unfair, though, because I'm older than Ben. And I spent this weekend drinking heavily.
Oh, I'm drinking cream soda this morning.
And no, I was at a bachelor's party on Saturday, which was raucous. I mean, it was on the dam, and it was just it was great. It was just terrific. You know, loads and loads of tequila was consumed. It was fun.
Brilliant.
Had a really good time, and I slept on the floor because there just wasn't enough. There were not enough rooms in this place, and
I slept, but
it was fine. I mean, but I woke up, I felt fine, and here's Ben, who's healthier than me, younger than me, and he woke up crippled and twisted
and crooked,
like Hillary.
I woke up as crooked as Hillary's morals.
Jesus,
that's a lot.
Poor man,
that's a lot off center.
I feel bad for you. I can see you're off center right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to face you, but I'm actually facing the end.
There's a guy on Instagram. He's hilarious. He's this little man. He's got his like twisted spine and all the rest.
Yeah, see, this is me. This is my future. Not gonna be Instagram.
Yeah, it's just gonna get worse.
So this guy, have you seen him? This What happened, Sia? You got a fright?
Better embrace my people, I guess. Tell me more.
Nola's way of greeting me every morning is always just like a jolt to my spine. Not cute. Good morning.
So this guy, is he's obviously got some kind of condition, right?
Yeah, we all do.
No, but he just look him up quickly. He's basically he's got a serious medical problem there. This guy.
Oh, ooh.
He's a little he's a dude. His name is Ricky Berwick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a twisted spine, and he's got a little funny gammy foot, and he's
sure his eyes are also there. Yeah, no,
he's a total disaster. But I keep thinking like this is the way. If Ben carries on down this path. It won't be long.
It is going to get worse with age. And I hate to say the words, but back operation or something like that.
I just think I'm terribly wired, and I need to now not just exercise. I need to exercise like about to die.
Here's this guy on...
Yeah, that was me. No. That's me on the bed, basically.
He's so weird. He's taking off his sock and he's giggling.
He's a like problem.
A mad person.
So this is my future, basically. I'm going to film myself trying to put a sock on. I'll be like, oh my gosh.
He's Ben put his sock on today. Sock up and down.
Yay. Ben put socks on.
Oh, is that his laugh?
Yes, he's got a goblin laugh as well. Creepy. It's great. So I started following him over the weekend to prepare myself to see Ben.
Oh man.
Yeah, but you know when people say, oh, and I was near death and the only way forward was to do something exceptional, I'm gonna have to become one of those guys now. I'm to wake up and like do 3 hours of calisthenics or some shit.
There's an app that keeps on being advertised to me for people over 45 or something, and how your body changes and you have to exercise differently. Maybe that's what you should do.
No, I for sure I've got every day's gonna be like Rocky on the stairs for me now. Like, I haven't got money for this kind of shit. I want to, like, travel the world and do great things with my girlfriend. I don't want to have to buy shoes, one's bigger than the other, and go to strange European doctors who have a fucking master's degree in muscle fiber twitching and shit.
Mm.
Stop showing me that person. I'm feeling cuck as it is.
What did, like, the Angela Bassetts of the world do to scorn the gene pool?
Yeah, well, they just seem to last forever, and they don't get sick, and they... You know, I know old
they look
people.
12 when they're 60.
I know old people who go out and play a round of golf in their 90s. No, really. Go out, play a round of golf in their 90s. They get back afterwards. They stretch a little bit. They have a gin and tonic.
Mm.
And they proceed with their day. Here's poor old Ben.
Who's seen Gary Player in like 2 weeks.
In the prime of his life. If you walk up to Gary like a question mark, which is the way you're shaped at the moment, he's going to give you your ass. He's going to hand it on.
I'm going to be out of the circle of trust with him.
Oh, he doesn't like weakness.
Of course not. He smells it a mile away.
I just read an article about allegedly the world's new oldest couple. And I say allegedly because the man in this couple has lost his identity documents, so they can't really prove it. But they're both supposedly 118 years old. And
really?
They say,
where do they live?
I have no cooking clue. I think somewhere in Asia.
Okay.
Tibet. And they
always
say...
Always Tibet. There's no home affairs in Tibet. So everyone's like, hooray, I'm 118.
The wife says her secret to living that long
give me something for free. I'm 118.
Is playing music. So she goes around playing a little ukulele for people.
Oh.
And the husband says his secret to living that long is to eat dried wheat and drinking lots of juice and also indulging in cake. So perhaps, Ben, that's what you should try out.
Oh, actually, okay. Last week,
I
ate more cake than I've ever eaten in a week before. I'm maybe blaming the cake. So screw you, Tibetan man. My secret. That's all you can get your hands on, dried wheat. You don't go into a store full of things and go, I'm going to go with the dried wheat. It's all you've got.
Tibetan
give
man.
Give me that shit.
Oh,
sorry, it's all just hit it home. I'm going to become a freak on Instagram. That's pretty much my life now.
Oh, then Bolivia. There we go.
A freak on Instagram. Okay, Bolivia's in South America, so we take back all the nasty
all
things that were said about Asia.
Yes.
Tibet and their home affairs, right. Which I'm sure works well.
I'm sure Bolivia's home affairs department's really, really on top of things, too. Mm. They're right next door to Colombia, can you imagine? And Venezuela, how well that goes.
No, bad. Mm-hmm.
All right, so how was your weekend? Sia, what did you get up to? You were in Polokwane on Friday.
Yo.
You bumped into Julius's grandma?
I bumped into avocados. I bumped into dry roads. I bumped into...
What?
Yeah,
dry roads.
Just everything was dry, not a tree in sight. I came back to Joburg seeing the jacarandas. I was praising Jesus and the Hail Mary.
See, the problem is with shit places like Limpopo.
It's shame.
No, people, they...
I feel like I put all these places down every week I come back.
But you're a spoiled city kid. That's how you are.
Yeah, I'll be
honest. You look down on the rurals. You do. I don't blame you.
I'm not even going to try to deny
it. It's what you're conditioned to. Mm. And if you were on a farm... They would have to teach you how to hunt your own food and all that kind of thing. But that's not how it is. If they come to the city, they have to listen to you. And most of them don't have the internet, so they can't hear us now anyway. So let's talk about them freely, shall we? Problem with crappy places like Limpopo is that everything is just used. Everything. Like if there's a tree, someone's going to cut it down and chop it into wood so they can burn things. And cook things. That's just how it is. There's no planning for, you know, next year, the year after. It's like, if it's there, you must use it today.
Yeah.
That's how Polokwane is. Like, you will see places where... And I've been to Polokwane. I think there are some nice neighborhoods. I mean, I stayed in one when we did Idols there one year. We stayed in this hotel, like a bed and breakfast and Airbnb type thing. Mm-hmm. It was very nice. It's really just not the kind of place that anyone would make their first choice to live. If you weren't born there, you'd never move there.
But all of this traveling really just gets me out of my own mind as well about how big South Africa is and how different we all are. There are people living there, and I'm not saying this in a condescending way, but who just absolutely love that place.
Yeah, I know. And
they're
I don't understand.
Proud of it.
They need to have their heads read.
And I was really trying to understand. I was like, so what's a typical weekend like
for
you?
What do you do? I mean, I went to this place. I did a DJ gig once there when I was still doing those. And it was very nice. There were people partying and drinking and having fun and hanging around and girls hooking up with guys and just, you know, it was fun.
Mm.
But I don't think it happens in a lot of places there. I think there's a lot of people like just scraping by day because it's not... It's not as if Limpopo is this metropolis, this hub, this place where things happen. And in an economy like this, little towns, and I mean, Polokwane is a big town by comparison, but little towns suffer. If you drive through, if you head out towards Mpumalanga or you go into the northwest, these little towns are falling apart.
And they're always dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rain doesn't even go there.
No. Rain couldn't care. Anyway, so look, lots of things to talk about this morning. We've got a couple of interesting things on the lineup today. We'll hopefully be checking in with Rich Mulholland. Is he back?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
After Brazil.
You want some emails?
Sure.
We always love some emails. First of all, Inati, who's on, what's he calling us? Oh, he's on Telegram this morning. He says, loved Friday's show. Very, very funny. I listened to it twice. Wow.
Goodness me.
We didn't even listen to it twice, and we did it. That's great. hey, Gareth and team. Some brief feedback from a longtime fan. I'm concerned regarding the new rotating roster system that shows may become more about the guests than the current affairs banter we've come to love. So what he's saying here, this is Brad, having Ben on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Leanne Monday, Tuesday, Friday, you know, we're going to have Pumi and Tumi Murake and Nina Hasty and people like that popping in on a Thursday. Gord, if he lives.
People are
now signing off their emails with rest in peace, Gord. He's still alive, but I love this. So let's keep that going, shall we?
But is he?
Well, he keeps updating his Facebook.
Yeah, you can pay an Indian call center place to do that for you.
Okay.
So he says, with all these people coming in, he's worried he's not going to get the same current affairs stuff. Don't worry. It's still very much a part of what we do, Brad. He says he's also just moved to Scotland. He has a degree and he can't find a job there. A bit of life advice: experience is more valuable than academic education where jobs today are concerned.
Yeah.
And then he says, rip Gord.
A degree will only get you into certain places.
Especially in Scotland. I mean, they don't even speak English. How are you going to manage? How do they even know what you're talking about in Scotland?
What do they speak?
Well,
I was remembering yesterday one of the World Cups were for rugby, whatever those are called.
World Cup for rugby.
The ref was Scottish, and he was telling the box were playing, and he was telling everyone just before or after a ruck what to do and what not to do. And he's going, "Good, that stand up, the tenere, that was that do that
body." Yeah, exactly.
And the one book looked at him. He was trying to listen like a puppy, tilting his head, and he went, "Sorry."
It's hilarious.
Oh gosh,
that is really really funny. He probably, you know, the parts of Scotland where you get different kinds of Scottish accents too, and that doesn't help.
Yeah, the dialects.
Depends on the severity of the wind as well.
Donald Trump can't understand any accents. Did you see him in that press conference?
Which one?
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. This guy with a Japanese accent, he was trying to ask a question. So then another guy from Lebanon asked him a question about President Erdogan. And Trump said, "Who said that?" He says, "President Erdogan, Turkey." So he goes, I know. I just can't understand you."
Oh, my gosh.
He can't understand anyone. It's hilarious.
It's so embarrassing.
Anyway, all right. So in Scotland, and it's a horrible time to be in Scotland, Brad.
Very, very
cold. It's dark. Horrible.
The only highlight is that he gets to watch the Springboks this weekend in Scotland.
Okay. Well, there's something to look forward to. After that, it's just ice. Good morning, team. This is from Reino. He says, "I was wondering what happened to that horny intern who used to be there. I miss hearing him talk about the hilarious sexcapades and copious amounts of effort he put into getting laid. Peace and love, Reino." I'm trying to think who it could be.
Mike, wasn't it?
I don't think it was Flax. He wasn't the horny intern. I think it was Duncan. Duncan was always trying to get laid. Oh, my.
Duncan, my boss. Duncan
wasn't putting in effort. He was just announcing that he had a D and that was enough.
Duncan spent every waking moment trying to get laid. All he was interested is laying pipe.
Do you remember that time he said he'd even go with Semizi if that was an option? He said he's a good-looking man.
Yeah, he did.
I'll tap that, I think he
Duncan
said.
Duncan was chasing orgasms. That's
anything
all
with a heartbeat and two legs.
Sure.
Actually, two legs is enough of discrimination. Anything with a heartbeat.
Yes, exactly. Earlier this week, this is another email now from Anka. She says, "Earlier this week, you mentioned a list of names that you can't pronounce that are stored on your phone. Well, here is a list of names that you can pronounce, but they're just so damn ridiculous. South Africa's the best." Now, these are actual names.
Yeah. Of places or?
Of people.
People, okay.
Feta, like the cheese.
Yes.
Okay. F-E-T-A.
Yeah.
Feta.
Ferrari, but spelt F-I-R-A-R-I.
Goodness me, yeah. Mm.
Someone called their child Ferrari.
Oh, no.
Ono, O-H-N-O.
No, no.
Yes. Not, no why. No why.
What?
No why. No why.
Oh.
As in you should know why.
N-O-W-H-Y. No. It's a name. That's an actual name someone gave their child. No why. Okay, so you can only imagine what happened
How
to make that child.
How do you spell your name? No why.
That's horrendous. Sputnik. Now, I mean, Sputnik. I used to know a guy called Sputnik Radau.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he was like an engineer.
Well, that's a pretty appropriate name.
Stinky.
Oh, no, that's like what you call your dog.
Mistake.
Oof, just
imagine your child is called Mistake. What kind of an inheritance is that to give them? Hmm. Hello, little Mistake. Mom, Dad, why did you call me that? Oh, isn't it obvious?
Yeah.
Regret.
Another one like that.
What next? Broken condom.
Dronky. Dronky.
Dronky.
An actual name. Imagine calling your child Dronky. Those are just a few of the names I've encountered this past year working in a government hospital in Mpumalanga. Anyway, because you were talking about these names, I thought I'd send you a list of my own. I'm proud to say I'm one of six people listening to the show in this hospital. Wow, that's fantastic. Mm. Anka, thank you. Very, very nice.
I remember my uncle who was a builder, his guys stole some valuables off of a property they were working on.
Yeah.
And he finally got to the root of who it was, and their names were Innocent and Honest. Oh.
What are the chances?
Oh,
that's
no.
So good.
My two guys, Innocent and Honest.
Ben, how's your back?
Oh, shame. As soon as he got over it, as soon as he forgot for a second.
He's trying.
Got over it. I'm just breathing in, breathing out right now.
All right, well, those are our emails for this morning. They're whole bunch more, but I think that's enough. Anthea's coming in today. The other thing I wanted to give you the heads up on is that we've got a lot of people in South Africa who want to go and take up a career or a life in America, right? And I've spoken about this many times. I used to be one of those people who thought that emigrating was a bad idea. I used to think that people owed their country something. I obviously have changed my opinion on that. And over the years, I've decided that people should be able to go wherever the damn hell they want to.
I've got friends who have just been accepted into Canada.
Oh, wow. Except Canada. If you go to Canada, then you...
Very cold.
And there. Scotland.
No, look, Scotland's actually great if you're into golf. If...
Yeah, but again, in the winter...
It's fine. You wait until the ice thaws. If you love golf enough, Gareth, you'll wait.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to an advocate, Leon Fashveld, and we'll speak to Stuart Ferguson. They actually can help people who want to emigrate and invest in America. So, I mean, there are lots of people in this country who are... you know, maybe you want to raise your kids there. Maybe you think that that's the place to go. Their economy's booming. They have certain, I suppose, advantages that the rest of the world maybe doesn't have. And if you want to find out more about that, we will give you the information. That's around 7:30 this morning.
Sure. Yeah, it's quite a scary thought. I mean, a lot of what we see is of badly educated Americans, and you think, okay, how am I going to ensure that my child gets a good education, especially when it comes to geography?
No, geography is not the most important subject in America. They basically know their states better than they know the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes not even that. But you've also got to distinguish, because there's a huge difference in America between the kind of people that we mock and the kind of people who come here on safari.
Yeah.
And the kind of American who's, you know, making the world an interesting place, developing new products, new technologies, new ideas. And I've met loads of Americans from both of those camps, and I can say that I like Americans. I've always liked them. A lot of people find them loud, and I mean, these are such generalizations, right?
Yeah.
All the Americans I know, I like all of them without any exceptions. And while I've met unpleasant people come from all countries.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to find horrible people just about everywhere. And you're also going to find very nice people. So let's not be generalizing to that extent. And I do think that if you want to make a move, you've got to be informed. You've got to know what you're about to go into. Now, Alpha Code's incubate program to discover unique minds and businesses in South Africa has created a huge amount of interest this year. Remember, we've talked about this once or twice. Entrepreneurial packages worth 16 million rand were awarded to 8 of the most promising financial services startups. The packages consist of 1 million rand in grant funding and 1 million rand in support. That includes mentorship, monthly expert-led sessions, exclusive office space in Sandton, marketing, legal, and other business support services. Who doesn't need that when you start a business? We recently chatted to a few of those who made it through the selection process and how, together with Alpha Code, they are looking to make a difference. If you want to hear some of these episodes and you'd like to hear about the minds behind these businesses, go to cliffcentral.com. And download the podcasts. You can find tons of really, really interesting information.
Very nice.
Yes, very nice indeed. Yesterday was Armistice Day.
Yes.
Yes.
And I read a little story today. This morning, I woke up really early for some reason, on the history of the resume. And underneath that was Armistice Day. And I just thought it would be something that would interest you, being a history buff. But I actually don't really know much about it.
Well, it was exactly 100 years to the day that World War I ended yesterday.
Right.
World War I, of course, one of the most brutal, monstrous, ugly chapters in human history. World War I was essentially the end of the empires. It was the beginning of the modern age in many ways. It was the most ugly war because people were just... It was a battle of attrition. It was all about kill as many as you can and hopefully you have some more left at the end than the other guy.
Mm.
I mean, there are pictures. There's some very interesting pictures that have been circulated around. One of them is the Cameron Highlanders, which is a battalion, a Scottish battalion. In 1914, they were photographed. Then they were sent off to the front lines, and then in 1918 they came back and took the same picture, and only probably a 12th of them were left.
Sure.
The rest had just been killed in war. And I can't begin to tell you, like, as someone who is a history fan and who loves this stuff, World War One was the violence. They used shells. They were bombing Paris. They were shelling Paris from 20 to 30 kilometers away and doing massive, massive damage. Huge artillery shells, just monstrously large, essentially bullets that were loaded into these cannons and fired, and people in trenches. And the life that these people had, these soldiers in these trenches, just excruciating. Imagine wading through what is essentially, because it was raining, and then it was muddy, and then it was icy, and then it was just so unpleasant. People were foot rot was a
trench,
thing.
Trench foot.
Yeah. The blood and the piss it's just the most atrocious conditions. And these soldiers then had to every day be shelled with gunfire as well, as if that wasn't bad enough. Mm. And they say that once in the Battle of Verdun, a bunch of Frenchmen were stuck in a fort, and they dug these forts deep underground, and they ran out of water. There was bad planning in terms of how much water they needed to bring in for the population that was living in the fort. So they ran out of water, and they got so thirsty that they would try to drink the storm water from the, you know, kind of through the drains of the fort. And then when that ran out, they would drink their own urine.
Oh my gosh. Oof.
And then when I think there was a gap somewhere in the artillery fire, they got out of the fort and they ran down to these pools and started drinking the water, and only realized there were dead bodies in the water afterwards. Mm-mm. Can you imagine? This kind of depredation.
It's hell.
So when we celebrate Armistice Day, which is the 11th day of the 11th month of that year, was 1918, on the 11th hour is when they do it. That's why people wear poppies.
Yes.
And I know that this is 100 years ago, and none of the soldiers from World War One are still alive. Not one. If you think that these things don't matter, then you are not only ignorant of history, which is forgivable, but you don't realize how the modern world has been shaped by some of the things that happened during that conflict.
I mean, it changed demographics.
Everything.
Of the loss of male lives.
Everything. And,
yeah.
You can directly trace the problems in the Balkans during the 90s to what happened in World War One. You can directly trace the relationship between countries like America and Russia to what happened in World War One. I mean, this is a big, big deal. It really is. And it's just incredible to me how a lot of people, and you don't have to be fascinated by history. You don't have to be one of those history nerds like I am. But to know this stuff is just so incredible. I just want to read what a friend of mine wrote about this. Many would argue that Armistice Day is an irrelevant relic of a distant European war that ended a century ago. I would argue that the need to remember the sacrifices of both world wars and the wars fought thereafter need to be remembered more than ever today. The effects of the First World War can be felt politically in many areas still. The treaty that ended it only led to greater destruction, bloodshed, and suffering, some recently enough for many to remember it personally. Modern warmongers, especially here in South Africa, who speak flippantly and boastfully about war or civil war, would do well to study and learn the painful, destructive lessons of the past. We forget at our own peril. And that's what people are saying. You know, the hashtag here, for the want of distilling it to millennial language, is never forget, remember. And that's why it's still something that, even though most of the people who were in that conflict have long since died, it's something that has an effect on everything. You know, this continent, Africa, was carved up between the European powers. And up to 1918, at the end of that war, Southwest Africa was part of Germany. Mozambique was part of Portugal. Tanzania was called Tanganyika. It belonged to Germany. Nigeria was English. These were not countries 100 years ago. They belonged. They were colonial outposts of Europe. And many soldiers from Africa went to fight in Europe. particularly in the French side, Senegalese fighters who were shipped to France to fight the Germans. Can you imagine for them how confusing and bizarre that was?
Where do you find the deep motivation?
We're going to go and fight in France for our colonial masters against people we don't even have a problem with? Mm-mm. It's very odd, right?
Yeah.
You think about that part of our history that nobody's really that interested in, unfortunately. And it just sketches so many scenarios in your head of what could have happened, would have happened, should have happened. I mean, I think I have, among my great-grandparents, three of them who fought in World War One.
Wow.
And survived. Now, how many people do not exist today because their would-be ancestors fell during those wars? And they reckon somewhere around 12 million people in World War One.
Almost a wipeout.
It was butchery. It was just they'd come out of the trenches and they'd be shot. And they just keep coming out of the trenches. They didn't have a plan. Their plan was to try and reach the other guy's trench.
Oh.
Your chances of dying were like 95%. Anyway, so there we go. That's my little history rant for the day. Now we can move on. We've got important things to discuss that are going on in the news right now. Do you want to hear the five things you need to know?
Yes. What do we need to know this morning?
Ben, did you just go, yes? Did you hear that? Does everybody hear that? That's great.
Yes!
Ben just survived
the
World War
breath.
One.
What's it called?
Death rattle.
The death rattle.
All right. So first thing, let's go to a story from IOL this morning. There's a new bridge. I saw them building this bridge in Mozambique.
Yes.
It's now the longest bridge in Africa.
And the only road in Mozambique without potholes.
Yeah, because it's brand new.
And Chinese, no doubt.
Of course it is. Yes. A new bridge linking KZN and Mozambique will create jobs and boost trade between the countries, said KZN's Economic Development MEC, Sihle Zikalala. He launched the new bridge on Saturday and said the government was advancing African integration. Well, no, you weren't. The Chinese were. Yeah. Don't you try and claim this is you. You did nothing for this. The bridge will boost the country's economies and create more jobs. It'll enhance trade opportunities, which will make it easy for exports and imports between both countries. And it is great because it links Maputo and Kozi Bay, and you can now, instead of having to travel 6 hours, you can do it in 90 minutes. How's that?
Wow.
Jeepers.
That's a hell of an improvement, right? It's a huge bridge. It spans right the way across the Maputo Bay area. And I saw them building it when I was out there in December last year. So
cool.
It must be open now. Open for business.
Thanks, China.
Isn't that great? Yeah, it's nice of China to have built that for us. I wonder what the cost implications are. SABC and Lotus FM described as a brothel run by prostitutes. Oh, yes. Do you want to hear more?
Oh, this is a bizarre story.
Lotus was flagged as the worst of the SABC's departments when the public broadcaster's findings and recommendations stemming from its commission of inquiry into sexual harassment were released on Tuesday. Did they ever... We were never asked about sexual harassment when we were there.
No, I mean, I was only on the receiving end of it when we were there.
You actually were sexually harassed?
Yeah, especially, you know, when I first joined, it was...
Was it management?
20 years ago.
Management were there?
Yes, I mean, I was...
Pawing you with their dirty
hands. I was
hands.
Greeted by a slap on the bum.
Ugh,
that's how, you know, that's how I was spoken
to. Isn't
it
amazing how things have changed?
Yeah.
And now you'd get fired instantly if you slapped some girl on the bum if she started working there. Fired. Mm-hmm. Gone. So apparently Lotus FM was run by men who regard the station as their fiefdom and the women their personal harem.
Goodness me.
SABC was labeled as a brothel run by prostitutes.
Wow.
How's that, huh? That's at Lotus FM. Lotus FM station manager Alvin Pillay did not respond to the messages seeking comment. Former SABC employees Vanessa Govender, who testified at the Commission of Inquiry, said the goings-on at the SABC were symptomatic of a constant daily threat that women in the country faced. She added this corporate culture was not exclusive to the broken public broadcaster. She's written a book about this. She said she'd become emotional during her live television broadcast, adding it was a moment where she and others were finally acknowledged.
But Lotus wasn't run from the headquarters in Joburg.
I don't think so.
I think they might have been in Durban.
I think it was. I think most of Lotus does run out of Durban.
Yeah.
But they certainly have offices up here in Joburg as well. Anyway, the recommendations by the commission included training workshops and policies and procedures to empower staff. So let's see how that goes.
Sure.
Yeah. Other news stories. This is quite a disturbing one. 3 killed, 5 injured in 2 Joburg North shootings. But
is it
a lot of shootings happening here? But yeah. Well, let me give you the brief synopsis.
Yeah, was police, it crime or was it fighting?
Police in Gauteng searching for 5 criminals who fatally shot 3 people and wounded 5 others in 2 separate shooting incidents in Johannesburg North in the suburbs in the early hours of Saturday morning. 3 people were shot dead and 4 others were wounded in an informal settlement in Lombardy East, while another man was shot and wounded during an armed robbery at a restaurant in Ilovo. 5 suspects are still at large.
Mm.
How's that, huh?
Sure.
Wow. Who knew? Doesn't sound good. So one other thing before we get to Anthea and before we get to Ben. There's another outbreak of African swine fever.
Oh, no.
You've got to look out. This could be what Ben has. Yes, I'm afraid. China has confirmed a new outbreak of African swine fever in the eastern province of Anhui. So it's in China for now.
Yeah.
But it comes from here originally.
Yeah, we were the culprits. The
fever was found on a farm with 8,339 pigs in Kinyang County in the south of Anhui, infecting 96 of the animals. Can you believe that? Killing 47 of them. The Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs said in a statement. Now, you know what's going to happen on that farm.
Yeah.
Fires.
No, they're going to come in and just set the whole place on fire.
Yeah.
It's just a scorched earth policy there. Mm-hmm.
It'll smell bacony.
And there's been an unbelievable...
It will.
Yeah.
I just imagined a whole pig farm on fire. Yeah, it's not great.
Finally, ferocious winds have whipped California fires up as the death toll has risen to 31. Yeah, there were some terrible fires in California over the last week or two. It's made massive news inside of the U.S., but a lot of people outside of the U.S. now also taking note of this. 31 people dead already.
Oh, man.
Just unbelievable carnage.
It's tough how they were trying to make us feel bad about the situation, though, because the team from The Bachelor have lost the mansion that they film in.
So I'm like, no.
The producers of The Bachelor tweeted, please pray for us. I'm like,
No, you guys, you're on your own. Sorry.
And then Caitlyn Jenner's house is also there.
Oh no. Now it's hitting home.
And I'm like, not saying, you know, people must suffer, but are these really the worst people?
My house is on fire.
But I think she's just been marked as safe. The Bachelor's falling elsewhere.
Has she
now.
Just been marked as safe? Yeah, oh, thank
her,
God.
Her
oh.
house.
What kind of a world would we live in if we didn't have Caitlyn Jenner? Over to you, Ben. By the way, Bitcoin $6,415 and Ethereum at $212. What do you got for us today?
The Springboks win, Gareth. They win against the French. The Proteas hammer the Aussies again.
So much winning.
And Lee Westwood records a very emotional victory at Sun City. Let's start with the rugby. It started, I fell asleep, I woke up when a Piwe Janchi scored a try, but it was a forward pass. But no, composure from the box after that.
Huh.
They managed to score a try right in the death, 4 minutes into injury time, actually, to record a very satisfactory 29-26 win. Now, it wasn't the greatest game, because when you play against the French, they seldom are. But the box showed a lot of character to come back, and I know it sounds like an old, bedraggled cliche to show character. We should be doing better in the actual full throes of the match. But yeah, it's Northern Hemisphere. These guys are tired. They've had a long year. I'm not making excuses for them, but it's difficult. I think there's a lot to be said for doing well in the Northern Hemisphere and eking out these wins. I mean, look at New Zealand. They had to eke it out against England.
Yes.
England are quite shy. I mean, the box
yes.
gave them a win the week before. And, well, New Zealand were in a lot of trouble that whole match. England actually thought they won. They got a try through...
Did they?
A guy that looks like an orc. And then TMO said, no, the guy was offside. And he was. Courtney Laws was just in front of the last man's feet.
An orc.
Kind of karma, though. Eh? Kind of karma for England. Because that whole shoulder assault from Owen Farrell, which didn't go penalised. Next week, what happens? TMO gets involved and tells them they actually can't win this one. So they were brought back, and they lost by a point this week round. So exciting stuff either way. South Africa having a good win against the French after being 14 points down. And now New Zealand winning by just the 1 point. But what this does tell us.
What this does tell us. Yes, that's correct. That's still English.
Sorry, yep. I just got a shooting
still
pain.
English, right?
The painkillers, eh, Ben?
Yeah,
So New Zealand do look beatable. Let's be completely frank about that. The Box did it in Wellington. They almost did it at Loftus. And England, they really did stick it to them. They stuck it to the All Blacks, and they look kind of fallible. So I think going to the World Cup, we don't have to watch any more rugby for the rest of this year. I think if every team just gets a little bit smarter and just hardens the fuck up a lot, yes, they'll be able to take on the All Blacks. Because you get in their face, you show them no respect whatsoever. They don't deserve any for a start. I didn't care about their whole boy band routine before the kickoff. These guys are just like anyone else. They're number two where we number two. They are beatable. And well done for England for taking in that close. Ireland, who, well, this is the big one this weekend. The All Blacks are going to play Ireland this weekend. Talk about beatable. Ireland are going to be probably, this is the game of the year. Because New Zealand are the first ranked team, Ireland are the second ranked team. Now, Ireland, they most of them probably had a huge hangovers just from not playing in a while. You know, Irish drink is part of their heritage.
That's all they do, yes.
They cobbled together a result against Argentina, 28-17. So don't draw too much into that. I think this match this weekend against New Zealand is going to be tip-top. Wales bored the living crap out of the world of rugby with Australia. 9-6, they won that one. Gosh, I'm so glad I didn't watch that. And Scotland, 54-17 against Fiji. Now, that was predictable, of course, but Scotland are going to be playing the Box this weekend. So if you are in Scotland, Edinburgh in particular, you can go and watch that. Scotland have been good the last 2 years. They really have improved. I mean, they were far too good for the Box recently. And yeah, that's a big result. It really is. If we can beat the Scots, I'm going to be well chuffed. In the crickets, well, Aussies won the toss in Hobart, which is in Tasmania, and decided to bowl.
Tasmania.
Not rating their batsmen enough, they decided to have a bowl. And it worked out pretty well for them. De Kock and Hendricks were gone for bugger all. Markram played well, and then Faf du Plessis and David Miller got to the crease, and that was that. They just stayed there. They both scored fantastic hundreds. Faf scored 125, wow, and Miller scored 139. 320 for 5. Were the Aussies going to get that? Of course they weren't. Although, credit to Sean Marsh. He got 106. But the Aussies ultimately bundled out for 280 runs.
Good heavens.
Dale Steyn bowled bloody well again. How about this for a comeback? Eh? 3 for 45. Did really well this series. He didn't break down, which is a good thing. Plus, he took wickets. Rabada got 3 as well. And Dwayne Pretorius also getting a few wickets. So that's a 2-1 victory for the Proteas. It obviously should have been 3-0. But we all love a bit of fun and games. So that is a very constructive pre-Christmas trip to Australia. In the golf, it was a very emotional win for Lee Westwood yesterday. Well, firstly, he's past it. He's 45 or something.
It's amazing. So old.
In the heat at that age.
So old.
Exactly. But he was...
He was there in the real actual Armistice Day.
He was. Oh. He was. He was there when Gary Player was still a young lad. He was 3 shots back starting the day. And his long-term caddy, Billy Foster, could not carry the bag because his dad had died, I think. So it was pretty, I mean, pretty a rough
very
week.
Very emotional.
So he took his girlfriend out there.
Girlfriend carried the bag?
Yeah, a big bag. He didn't even go for the light bag.
We talk about gender equality. I mean, why shouldn't you?
He carry the big bag.
Well, why shouldn't, if you're the girlfriend, if I hope he paid her.
Well, she was.
Oh, I don't know. How much do bag ladies get?
Bag ladies.
caddy. So, Helen, well, big ups to Helen. She carried that big bastard of a bag in 36-degree heat, and there's no small walk that Mr. Gary Player Country Club, I will tell you. So, Lee Westwood started out par, and then he made an eagle. And that kind of sort of straight away threw him one back, because Sergio Garcia was dicking around at the beginning. Lewis Hesson had a pretty slow start. Then Lewis Hesson came roaring back. He was just, from the third hole.
Yes.
I mean, he made, what, 7 birdies up until the 15th? And then the 15th, well, he hit a good shot in, just absolutely cocked up his birdie putt. Ended up 3 putting. Got to the 18th, and he completely proteased it and made a 6.
Proteased it?
He was going to win. Louis Oosthuizen was going to be... I mean, Louis won bugger all, really. I mean, Louis Oosthuizen is one of the most frustrating people to ever support. He's got this gorgeous swing. He's won an Open Championship, but he just doesn't seem like he gives a toss. Obviously, he does, because that's what he does. He's a professional golfer. He's trying to win like anyone else. But he just doesn't win that much. Simple as that. It's a real shame. He is SA's number one golfer, though, and it looked like he was going to win. But then he finished with a bogey on 15. He parred 16 and 17, and then he had a 6 on 18. All the while, Lee Westwood, he went birdie, birdie, par finish. Actually, he had a back nine of 31. 64 on the final day. 64 on the final day is absolutely ridiculous. You go around that golf course and you'll think, how did they even break par? 64, 8 under in the final round.
Yes.
Hugely emotional victory for Lee Westwood there. And he was in tears. And then him and Helen had a bottle of champagne. And she was like, thank fuck that's over. My back is broken. I mean, Helen and I are looking the same this morning. Skew backs. She's a lot richer than I am today. Say that much. And in the ATP final series, it got started with obviously the best 10 players in the world. And Kevin Anderson beat Dominic Thiem. That is a huge result for him. 6-3, 7-6. And Federer, in search of the magical number 100, well, he's not going to do it. Nishikori already beat him 7-6, 6-3. Of course, you keep playing the whole time round. Everyone plays everybody. So it's not like a knockout kind of thing. And then you'll see the best in the world finishing. It's the Nito ATP Finals. Player that building the Queen hates. And football. Quickly, before we get to Anthea, there was football. There was only really one match to really care about over the weekend in the PSL, and that was Sundowns versus Pirates. 0-0. Hooray. And then in the English Premier League, there was the big Manchester derby, and we all knew which day that was going to go. Man United lost, obviously. Can't beat Man City. Man City 3-1. Arsenal were very, very average against Wolves. They drew 1-1. Liverpool with a good win against Fulham. Spurs beat Crystal Palace away, and Chelsea, what did they do? Bugger all. 0-0 against Everton. That's pretty much it for the sport for the weekend. This is the week. This is the start for the Mzansi Super League. Friday, yeah. Get your tickets.
Has Anthea got a team?
No. Anthea doesn't care about sports.
You gave me one last week. The Giants.
Yeah.
See, she remembers even if you don't.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Ben's...
He's on a lot of medication.
Ben is bent.
She's not here enough to
Ben
really
is crooked and bent today.
Mzansi Super League team.
Oh.
Well, let's be honest.
How rude.
That's how it works around here.
All right, well.
More sport on Wednesday.
Thank you, Ben. Anthea, it's over to you. Everybody, are you ready?
For the money, yeah. So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. I got bills I gotta pay, so I gotta work, work, work every day. Mouths, I gotta feed, so I gotta make sure everybody eats.
How do you like that? Now that's an intro. That's the way it should go.
Love it. Absolutely
All right.
love it.
Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning.
Is it a good morning?
Yes, it is. I've got some good news. Hopefully we're setting the scene for the Christmas rally in the stock market. You know, we have that every year.
Yes, right. let's hold thumbs. Go on.
Yeah, so last week wasn't too bad. I mean, Friday wasn't great, but the rest of the week was fine. Looks like we're trying to recover some of October's losses. Still a little bit of concern about the falling oil price, China, trade wars, that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rand had a mind of its own last week, traded below 14 to the US dollar. It's back above 14, it's now 14.27-ish, but at least it shows that the Rand can break through this 14 level. And then there was a lot of talk last week about SAA possibly selling shares, becoming more of a private company than a government company, and this is because obviously they need to raise money so that they can pay back government money that they've borrowed. And stop relying on bailouts. But SAA haven't confirmed this. There's lots of talk of it.
I saw a story, I think it might be fake news, but how they've been given this bailout of 5 billion rand. And more. They've already spent 3 billion of it.
Oh, I easily believe that, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not fake news? Oh, God.
Well, I don't know exactly the numbers, but I wouldn't be surprised. Absolutely.
Sure. That's unbelievable.
Why would you be surprised by that? They've got debt coming out of every orifice they've got.
That's exactly right.
But they only got the money the other day. That's like if you get paid on the first of the month.
Money's got places to go, Gareth. Oh, debit orders also go away straight away, don't they?
That's true.
That's right.
All right. Fair enough.
And then it looks like MTN may settle with the Nigerian Central Bank, the $8 billion claim that they have, sooner rather than later, hopefully. I mean, if this just goes away and if Nigeria just goes away, we were doing some calculations. You're looking at MTN being valued at about 120 1,213 rand a share. It's currently trading at 85. So there could be some nice upside to it. But well, this Nigerian...
Poor old MTN. I mean, they really are just being taken for a ride by the Nigerian government, who are looking at new ways to exploit private companies for their own tax coffers. Yeah. And it's outrageous that a government should be able to hold a company hostage like this. Sure, you can find something wrong with just about any company in any region doing one or two things that might be considered a little bit dodgy in respect of perhaps, you know, a fee for this or a fee for that. But the reality is that Nigeria, every time that they need more money, they just look around, pick a private company and say to them, you owe us this much money. Impose a fine, and if you don't pay it, they shut you down.
There you go.
That's no way to operate.
Huge concerns there, yeah.
Almost would suit them better to just pull out of Nigeria. But they've got so many customers there,
right? That's the thing. And they're planning a stock exchange listing in Nigeria as well now. So, and part of the listing, I think, would help to generate more cash. But we'll see how that all goes. I mean, there's lots of speculation about why the Nigerian government's doing this, including that Dangote wants to buy some of MTN and that they're keeping the share price suppressed.
Well, speaking of share prices, something very interesting happened with Discovery.
Ah, yes. They raised 1.85 billion rand overnight, wow. Like in a heartbeat, by issuing 11.4 million new shares at 162 rand a share. So basically, they did an accelerated book build. So they phone us up at 5 o'clock on a Thursday or Wednesday, whenever it was, and say, do you want to buy some shares and how many do you want? The book was, I think, 4 times oversubscribed. So, yeah.
Did you dip in there?
I did. Okay. So Discovery.
How can you make that sound smutty?
She did. Anthea
dipped
in.
I didn't even pick that up.
She got a whole bunch. And do you think that these will increase in value? I mean, is there...
So we got them at about a 5% discount to the previous day's close. Mm-hmm. The share did come under a bit of pressure, but yes, I think this is a good one.
Discovery's a safe bet.
Yeah, I think so.
And with their bank coming online soon and all that stuff, they're going to have lots of other upside.
And that's
right?
Exactly why they were raising the money, uh-huh. So that they could buy first-round stakes that they had to, and so forth.
Yeah, because they had a problem. Discovery and First Rand have sort of a tenuous link between them. They were basically founded by... the same guys, right?
Absolutely. And it's more than tenuous because First Rand owns, I think it's 27% that they had to buy back. Discovery had to buy that stake back before they could launch the bank.
Because you can't have a bank that owns a bank. Otherwise, who's the banking license with? Right. So these are all regulations.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
It was an interesting week for the banking services sector, actually, because Standard Bank announced that they're going to do a secondary listing on A2X, which is South Africa's second stock exchange, basically. So that's very exciting for them. Sanlam already is on the platform. AVI said they're going to go on the platform. So that'll make it 13 companies listed on this new stock exchange, A2X, which was founded or started in 2017. Mm-hmm. So it takes a while before companies get there. I mean, really, basically, A2X are saying, well, we're cheaper than the JSE, so come and list with us. But everyone knows the JSE, and so they still trade there. And then also, you remember Michael Jordan's Bank Zero launched... unofficially, yep. Not too long ago. And this week, or last week, I should say, Time Bank, which is now owned by ARC, or Patrice Motsepe's African Rainbow Capital, said they signed up 1,800 clients in their first week of their unofficial launch. That's last week.
That's good.
Yeah, very good. So basically, their story as well, no monthly fee. Clients will pay for specific services as they use them, with the most expensive transaction in its fee structure, cash withdrawals at ATMs and other banks costing 8 rand.
Hmm.
Also, Time said you can download their mobile app for free at 730 self-service kiosks in Pick and Pay stores, which I didn't know. I haven't seen these stores, so I'm going to go and look for them, actually.
Sounds like the same place you pay your e-tolls. Nobody's ever seen them.
I think I saw the launch of one of them. I was at Pick and Pay buying stuff, and there was a whole group of people around one of these booths.
It doesn't sound very convincing. You're not sure if you saw the launch.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure, but they were standing in front of this machine, and I thought, what is it, an ATM? And it wasn't. It wasn't a lotto machine.
Online bank with a kiosk.
Yeah.
So you didn't download the app?
No.
Oh, dear. Because the bank also said they'd pay for costs related to the app.
Huh. Huh. Mm.
So they really are trying to make this banking cheaper.
Well, you want zero fees. I mean, there's no reason that you should have to pay these ridiculous fees that most of the banks charge. And in South Africa, we've got, whether you can't call it a monopoly, but we have a some kind of there's a cartel. I mean, there's price fixing in a different sort of way. They're all trying to compete with each other in innovation and in online and internet banking. And there's certain fees that they're willing to sacrifice. But actually, it's a bit of a closed system.
Yeah. And the market definitely needs a disruptor or two, right? Mm-hmm. Or three even.
Yes.
And then lots going on in the retail space as well. Foschini reported their first half 2019 results. Diluted headline earnings per share up 8%. All regions contributed, including South African sales, which was up 8.1%. It looks like, I mean, we've got retail sales numbers coming out this week. And last month we saw retail sales up 2.5%, which surprised me because I think the consumer's under so much pressure. And I don't know, let's just say we're not going to spend ourselves out of a recession, put it that way. I think the South Africans just don't have money. But while we're talking about the retail sector, I also see that Zara are offering 106 new countries online shopping, which is very interesting. Most of them in Africa. That'll bring their online markets to 202 stores. And I know it's weird to talk about online stores as a regional play, but I think this is about delivery. So where are Zara going to combine their physical stores with their online stores so that they're able to deliver? But definitely they're going retail. And then, I mean, online. And then Richemont reported their first half earnings as well. Unfortunately, really not a great set of results. And really, it was all about the watches. Watches disappointed. They just...
Well, who's buying them?
That's it.
I mean, it's investment stuff now. It's like art.
Mm.
That's the way we've got to look at it. These are expensive pieces of really delicately engineered material. And people are buying them as investments. They're buying them because you have a collection of Rolexes or a collection of Cartiers or something.
And the other thing we spoke about...
It's like having a fancy painting on your wall.
Exactly. And how do you value it, right? Yeah. What value... So we were talking about this valuation of these watches, and obviously they have champagne and all sorts of fancy things. And what makes one 200 times more expensive than the other? Sure, it's nice, but is it 200 times nicer?
Well, it's like those houses that cost 100 million rand. And you think, how does a house go from 10 million rand, which is a pretty impressive house, to 100 million rand? How is it 10 times the value when it's almost the same amount of square feet, almost the same kinds of facilities? What makes a house a 100 million rand house? Location, all of these funny things. Desirability.
It's the intangible stuff that's difficult to quantify, right?
Right, so they thumbsuck a number. And with a fancy watch, you just thumbsuck a number.
And people will pay.
Yeah.
And then lastly, on retail still, Singles Day yesterday, don't forget. 11/11.
Yes, big day in China.
Huge. They netted $10 billion in revenue in the first hour of trading.
Hmm.
And it starts at midnight, right? So people, the Chinese, stay up till midnight and start shopping. That's 21% on last year's. In fact, last year, they netted $24.15 billion for the entire day. So yesterday was the 10th anniversary of Alibaba making this the shopping day. Because you know it wasn't originally a shopping day. It was a singles day where on campuses they celebrated being single. And this 1111 stands for branches, which in Chinese represents being a single person.
Right.
So yeah. And in their first year, I looked this up, they only made $7.5 million. So the numbers are just spectacular. I mean, well done, Jack Ma.
What a genius.
In 10 years, from $7.5 million to, I don't know, $25 billion he would have made yesterday.
Phenomenal.
Probably more.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right, Anthea, that's a lot to chew on. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Very,
guys.
Very good. We'll catch up with Anthea again next week. Some more in the Money Shot.
I learned a new definition of Singles Day.
Yes. Yeah. What did you think it was? Yeah.
It's just a day where I sit at home and wallow in my self-pity. That's what Singles Day is.
It's not so bad. Oh, stop it. All right, have you got some optimism for us this morning? Have you got some good news stories?
Not just optimism, but I think Ben should take out his notepad and pen for this one.
He can take them out, but he can't write because he's too crooked.
Mm.
Ben is a broken person today, everybody.
Okay, Ben, just drag yourself closer to the mic. There we go. What was that?
The pen will go to my mouth. Carry on.
Ben, not only is kindness just cool, but actually there are, according to new researchers from Canada, medical benefits to being kind. So how about you listen to this?
Yes, Ben.
These researchers tested out two different groups, one in particular who performed random acts of kindness, and they found that those who did, who were kind to other people, who went out to engage with other people socially, were rather helped in offsetting expectations of negative social interactions. They find that when you're kind, you may also anticipate positive interaction from others, and this can decrease concerns about social interactions. More so from this research as well, they find that there's a connection between kindness and the likes of positive health, social, individual, and group benefits. And kindness is also positively correlated with lower stress, greater happiness, less pain, greater energy, lower blood pressure, and reduce symptoms of depression.
That's very good. Who could argue with that?
I'm plenty kind. Don't look at me like, well, if you were just kind.
Maybe your grumpiness caused your back issue.
I'm not grumpy.
Leanne goes straight for the jugular. It's your grumpiness, you crooked bastard.
In one specific case, they found that even thinking more compassionately can reduce cortisol levels and reduce inflammation in the body. Do you feel inflamed anywhere?
Oh, hugely.
Yeah, from here to here.
See? You couldn't even move your arms to show me from here to here.
Yeah, and lifted his arms like John McCain.
And then other research reveals that people who volunteer have fewer aches and pains and live longer than those who don't. So look, all in all, I'm kind of being tongue-in-cheek with this one. There's a bit of a stretch, but I think the bottom line here is, you know, just stretch yourself in kindness.
Just be nice.
A little.
Yeah,
it'll make
kind.
You feel better. That's all.
Be kind.
That's your said by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. Thank God for that. All right, there we go. Are you ready? Monday's here. Leanne's favorite day.
Woohoo!
CliffCentral.com. Just after 7.
The sun keeps calling, and I've been chasing early.
CliffCentral.com.